Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
I've got a true confession. I'm petrified of mice. What happens in my shed? Mice show up. Abundantly. And I always have my lawnmower in there. And I've had, now I'm on my third lawnmower. Because two of them, they like to crawl into the engine and destroy it. In fact, one of my lawnmowers, the second one, every time I mow the lawn, I have to pull the engine apart to make sure there was not a nest in there. It would just drive me crazy. Because usually there was. And usually there were mice in there. And so I didn't really like that. So my brother, in the winter, I had stored my lawnmower in there. And he says, you know what I heard? I heard if you took those downy towels and you put them in the lawnmower, mice don't like the smell of that and they'll stay away from it. So I put a bunch of them all over the lawnmower and stuff. And I mean, I used a whole pack and I put them all in there. I came back out to check it. They had made a nest out of the downy. Apparently that doesn't work. And sometimes we get the advice from the wrong source, right? Sometimes we're told how to live our life by other people, right? We listen to what they have to say, and it's not always the right thing. You want to know how to live our life? Right? Through the book that God gave us to learn what he has to say. In James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Trust what God has to say. And how do we know what God has to say? He wrote it down for us. That's pretty cool.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know who you are and you know who we are. And we're thankful that you are a good and gracious and loving God whose mercy endures forever. So we pray that you would touch our lives and our hearts and our minds and help us to understand that you are for us, not against us. And so we come to you and thank you for what you can do because of all that your Son has done. In Jesus' name, amen. God uses many ways to get our attention. As a matter of fact, it's fair to say God is more interested in us than we are in him. And I'd like to read something to you to show you how God can catch a person's attention in very unusual ways. I have a friend, her name is Edith, who told me about the day she decided to follow Jesus. Edith cared nothing for religion, but one Sunday morning, she walked into a church near her apartment looking for something to satisfy her discontented soul. The text that day was Luke 15, verses 1 and 2, which the pastor read from the King James Version. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. But this is what was said, but this is what Edith heard. It said, the man receives sinners and eateth with them. She sat straight up in her pew. Eventually, she realized her mistake. But the thought that Jesus welcomed sinners, and that included Edith, stayed with her that afternoon. She decided to draw near to Jesus and listen to him. She began to read the Gospels and soon after decided to put her faith in him. Well, it's interesting. God can get our attention, and he does it in many ways. But today we're going to talk about temptation and how to overcome it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond that which you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way so that you can endure it. Dr. Hutton used to say it like this: God always makes a way of escape, and sometimes the way of escape is the king's highway and a good pair of heels. In other words, let the devil see your heels and run as hard as you can to get away from that temptation. One of the reasons we yield to temptation is that we are like the little boy in the pantry. His mother heard a noise because he had taken down the cookie jar. She said, "Willie, where are you?" He answered that he was in the pantry. "What are you doing there?" He said, "I'm fighting temptation." Now, that is not the place to fight temptation. That's the place to start running. Now, most people I know have really been on a diet at some point or another. And what you're really doing on a diet is fighting temptation. And one thing about a diet, when you're on a diet, you're always thinking about food. Everything is about food. And it seems to go that way. Well, when I face food, I can resist the temptation. But when I look at the dessert menu, I have to flee. So the Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lusts. So here we have what is a natural phenomena in everybody's life, a fight or a flight response. We all have a fight or flight reflex. How can we escape temptation? We can fight or we can flee. Now I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Now I'm going to read all the way from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 to chapter 6, 18. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. You're not listening now, are you, ladies? Which is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a profound ministry, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and his wife must respect her husband. Then it goes on in chapter 6 to say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters, with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Now, it's interesting to note when we study this, we find out that our first priority is the family relationships. If your family relationships are not what they ought to be, then you're not ready for spiritual warfare. Most people are not ready for spiritual warfare because they're still struggling with their marriage and family relationships. Now, the word submit means that there's an order of command. You see, marriage is like basic training. It's a time when you learn to live together, to work together, and to love one another. And if you can't get past that, you'll never enter any kind of spiritual warfare. Now, what happens if you do master that? Then, Paul says this, then watch out. Because when your home's in order, and when things are what they ought to be, and where children understand their relationship to you, when all that's in order, then watch out. Because that's the time Satan will come after you. That's the time when you enter into spiritual warfare. And it's interesting to note, our first priority, family relationships. God has given us something when we enter spiritual warfare that we would normally not be able to function with, and that's called the armor of God, okay? The armor of God. And the armor of God is found in Ephesians. Now, I'm going to read this. You don't have to read Ephesians, but trust me, it talks about the armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. How many remember that? It says, put on the full armor of God. Well, we don't look for a suit of armor, do we? We're not looking to find a suit of armor. Hey, let's all go out and buy a suit of armor and put it on. No. The pieces of armor represent something else. For instance, the belt that you use is called the belt of truth. The breastplate is called a breastplate of righteousness. The shield of faith is protection from attack. And the helmet of salvation is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So when we engage in spiritual warfare, we use truth, righteousness, and faith to deflect accusations and false accusings. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. By the way, if you're using most of your energy wrestling with your flesh, you're no threat to Satan. If you have not gotten over fighting your own flesh, you're no problem. You don't represent any threat to Satan whatsoever. But many people are not living by faith. They're living by finances. Did you know that? Many people aren't living by faith. They're living by finances. Now, I want to share something with you I think is very important. When I was teaching in the college, I would often wonder, here I am teaching people with a master's degree who've been in school for most of their life, who are also pastors, and they certainly are very knowledgeable. And I kept thinking, sometimes I wonder if I'm really doing any good. You've all felt that. Many times you've probably felt, is your life really measuring up to anything? Are you really contributing? Are you really making this world and this life count for something? Well, I was teaching a class, a doctrinal class about angels. Now, you got to understand that the word angel can mean messenger, and it can be an earthly messenger, all right? So the word angel can refer to an earthly messenger. Well, I was teaching a class about angels and how the word angel can mean an earthly messenger when one of the students, Salathia, said to me, I have a feeling that you're God's messenger to me. Not an angel. If you knew me well enough, you know that's not true. But she said, I feel that you're God's messenger to me. And I said to her, I felt she was God's messenger to me. And she asked me if I knew her middle name. I said, no, I don't. She said, my middle name is Angel. Whoa, I got goosebumps. Do you realize God may send you as his messenger to help someone resist temptation? Do you know that? God might send you to help someone resist temptation. How many times have I had stories told to me about one person was ready to commit suicide, suddenly they received a phone call. And at that moment, that phone call prevented them from doing something totally out of sorts and save their lives. I remember a situation where I had this lady say to me that she wanted to have an appointment and that she would wait for me to show up for this appointment. And I said, okay, what time would you like me there? She said, I'd like you there at 2:00. Now, everybody knew that the appointment was there. It was perfectly all right. It was a safe environment and I was to be there at 2:00. So I like to go places early. If I have an appointment at 1 in the afternoon, I'm there at 11 o'clock. If I have an appointment anywhere, I'm there early. When I come here for Sunday morning, I'm here at least by 9:30. So I'm here. I'm always early. But this time I thought, well, I'll wait a bit. I don't want to go too early. I don't want to show up for a 2:00 appointment at 1 o'clock. So I kind of waited and waited, and then I waited and 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 I waited. Then I said, well, for some reason, I said, I'm going to be as punctual as I can be. So I went to the door and I rang the doorbell. Now, I looked at my watch and I said, now we've got 30 seconds. 29, 28, 27, 24, and it went down and down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. And so I wouldn't be late, I pushed on 6. She opened the door and she said to me, it's strange, but I had made up my mind that if you were as much as 30 seconds late, I was going to commit suicide. How could I know that? How is it possible for somebody who's always there way early? How could I possibly know that? If you feel like there's someone you ought to call on the phone, or if you feel that there's someone that you ought to visit, do it. If you feel inclined to call someone on the phone, do it. If you feel inclined to visit somebody, do it. You might be God's messenger. You might be God's angel in that situation. You could be the very one that makes a difference in somebody's life. Now, I know it's sometimes difficult to see our own place in God's plan, but God has one. He has one. And you know what's wonderful about salvation? The only qualification you need to be saved is to be a sinner. That's all. The only qualification you need to be saved, to be a Christian, is to be a sinner. We all qualify. I got you. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know the word gift? You don't earn a gift. You earn a reward, but not a gift. A gift is something that's given freely, okay? God gave us the gift of eternal life, not because we deserved it. God is a merciful God. Hey, if you're not guilty, you don't need mercy. If you're not guilty, you don't need mercy. If you are guilty, you do need mercy. Lord knows I need mercy. Okay? Let me say this to you. You have a great opportunity today to make a big difference, not only in your own life, but in somebody else's. This is your day. This is your opportunity. This is your time to contribute to the plan of God, not just for you, but for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this message. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.